right, welcome everybody. It is Sunday, November 13th. It's starting to get cold in Colorado. We're starting to, we had a warm fall, but now it's starting to get cold. It's getting below freezing and we got snow a couple times and it's that time of year. All right, before I get in the word, I want to share a few things here. And we live in a crooked and perverse nation. We live in a world where the devil is running free and he's stealing, killing, and destroying things. And our elections were cheated again. In 2016, Hillary was cheated in a primary. She didn't win. Like we were talking about before fellowship, she would get 30-40% of the votes and she gets 60-70% of the delegates. And then when Trump beat her in the election for 4 years, the Democrats said that Trump was cheated in by Putin. And but now when they finally were cheated in the election in 2020, now they say anybody that says that Trump lost and the election was cheated, they say that we're election deniers. Oh my goodness. It's like they also call us climate deniers. Well, you know, we don't deny there's a climate. We don't deny there was an election. And the whole thing with the, I remember I was just talking to Diane about this yesterday. We were getting, brushing our teeth in the bathroom and I was talking about how in the 70s they were trying to push that it was another ice age was coming. And they said, look, there's another ice age coming, because we had a few cold winters. And they had one winter, oh man, they had an epic snow. I think it was late 70s, like 78, 79. They had snow that was, you know, like 3 feet deep, and it was just incredible. So they told us ice age was coming, and that the fix was big government. Mm,
that's always the fix.
Yeah, that's always the fix, yeah. And then what happened in the 80s, we started having some hot summers in the 80s, so they realized that the whole thing of telling us that an ice age was coming wasn't working, because damn, it was hot. Oh my goodness. It's like in the 90s again today. Oh, it's getting close to 100. Good grief. So they said it was global warming. And they said, you know, all this stuff. But the whole thing with the climate change, ice age, global warming, global cool, whatever, the end game is Marxism. They want a totalitarian government. And that's the whole end game with the cheating of the elections. They don't trust us. Even though they lie to us and they deceive some people, they don't trust us to elect who we want. They don't trust us to, the weatherman. I mean, it's like, I like watch the weather every day. And every day, they're at least a couple degrees off. They say, well, it's supposed to be 65 today and it only gets up to 60. Or they say it's only supposed to be 55 and it gets up to 63. So they're always a little bit wrong. But somehow, 100 years from now, it's going to be 1.276389 degrees warmer. 100 years from now.
Right.
They can't get today's forecast right, but oh, that 100 years, we're sure on that one. And and the Bible talks about if there's a prophet that predicts the future and that prophet is wrong, you don't regard that prophet. Well, our good buddy, and I use that term very loosely, our good buddy Al Gore, predicted by 2011 there would be no ice at either pole. Both the polar ice on both poles would be totally melted. Well, you ever notice these rich people that are preaching global warming and that the sea levels are rising? They have $20 million homes right at sea level, like at Martha's Vineyard.
Yeah.
If they really believed what they were saying, they would move to Colorado and be like a mile above, you know, and they wouldn't be down at sea level.
Please no.
Yeah, we don't want him here. Yeah.
We have enough, I guess.
Yeah.
Huh?
Just want to give a quick praise report. Can you see this?
Yeah.
Hey.
Oh, there you go.
I found my purse.
Yep. You pray, so things happen.
Thank you.
Oh. And you know, and there's nothing too little that we can't pray for. And there's nothing too big that God can't do. What's that? That stupid Star Wars movies. I used to like them, but Disney got in and just ruined the heck out of Star Wars.
Yeah.
It's just. But anyway, there's one scene where Yoda, who I think studied English by way of King James. Yoda said, with you the force is, you know. But anyway, Yoda, he was talking, teaching Luke how to use the force. I guess that was before Luke wrote the gospel, I guess. But anyway, he's teaching him how to use the force, and he's trying to teach Yoda how to levitate his spaceship. You know, and this is a little mouse for our computer. And Luke is saying, but the spaceship is so big. And Yoda says, size doesn't matter with the force. And the thing is it doesn't matter with God if it's a big problem or a little problem. God can solve it. That's the beauty of that.
Can I respond real quick? I want to say this.
Okay.
And as small and simple as that little purse is, let me tell you what that does to me, and God knows it. I go through mind craziness, and I get sick from it. My purse was gone for over a month, just less than 4 months ago. And I just literally went nuts. I was sick from it. I did everything I could. We prayed. We did everything. I called up all the credit card companies, you know, I had to get a new ID card and everything. Then a month later, God found it inside my couch where we couldn't find it before. This time, it was hanging up. We're underneath my robe, and I didn't see it. Neither did Greg. I even called Greg to work. But that little prayer that can mean so much nothing to some people about a little purse meant the world to me. Because it saved me from going through all that stomach sick. My stomach is nauseous thing. You know, the thinking that your stuff is gone, and then you have to go through it all over again. That's how big a simple prayer can be. And that's what I want to share. Thank you.
All right. Okay, back to my political thing. I got a few more points here. It's very interesting. There's a couple states like Florida and Texas that they cleaned up their voter laws and started requiring voter ID and cleaned up the laws to eliminate some of the cheating. They had districts that were long-term Democrat districts, election after election, the Democrats win. Suddenly, Republicans are winning those districts. And here's another one.
It's a miracle.
Yeah, it's a miracle, yes. And another way they're pushing Marxism and totalitarianism was this whole COVID-19 thing. Mm-hmm. First of all, they took a virus and they sent it to a lab and they gave it gain of function, which was partially funded by the United States. Our government did this to us. They had the vaccine, was the copyright, the patent date on the vaccine predates when it was supposedly released in that wet market in China. How's that for one for you? But anyway, it turns out that the vaccine was never tested for transmission. They told us, they required it, that we all get it, and they never tested. They never tested, like if I got vaccinated and I got it, that it would keep her from transmitting. They never tested that. Never. But yet they told us it would do that, but they never tested it. So it was just like, well, they're just lying. Now it turns out that people are 7 times more likely to get COVID after the vax and the boosters than without it. And if you look at VAERS, that, you know, the...
Explain what VAERS is.
VAERS, what you tell them.
Vaccine Adverse events reporting system.
Yeah. It's something that was put in place, and it's where if you have a vaccine and something goes wrong, you can report it there. And it, there's, so far there's been 30,000 deaths. Half of those have been in the United States. And that's just what's been reported. Who knows how many. It's by, this vaccine was more deadly than all other vaccines put together. But they basically, the devil was using this to test to see if he could trick people into, if they could take away our rights and put in a totalitarian system because people were afraid of getting sick and dying. Some of this stuff I'm not going to, I broke down some notes, some of this stuff I'm not going to talk about. I do sometime, I am going to someday do a teaching on about healing and nutrition. It's just, it's not going to happen today, sorry. But someday,
It
will.
But there are different supplements and herbs and things you can take to boost your immune system, to detox from different things, because they have, I mean, if you want to get real, first of all, none of us can do it perfectly in this world. We live in this world. God set up our bodies amazingly well to heal themselves. But they have, the devil has corrupted and poisoned our water, our air, our food, you name it. So you can never do anything pure and perfect. We're all going to make mistakes. Plus, every now and then you might want a burger from some burger place, you know, and we're to enjoy that and not be worried and full of fear. But God also set things up in nature for our healing, our detoxing. And so if you're concerned about some of these diseases, God has a way out. God set up a way out.
And, you know, if people have issues, you can call us and we can counsel. We're not medical doctors. We're not naturopathic doctors. But I know a little bit about this because I have reversed autoimmune disease about 90% in my body, and I reduced my medication about 90% by
and the information
eating
is,
better.
And the information is out there.
Yeah, by eating better and supplements. Which brings me my last point. I got my little sheet here with my notes before I get to my scriptures. One of the problems with, we were talking about elections and so forth, and one of the problems is somebody posted something on Facebook and I reposted it. They showed a snake with two heads. And I call it the two-headed beast. I also call it the uniparty. Because there's a lot of times it doesn't matter if we elect the Democrat or the Republican, because they're both bought and paid for by Big Pharma. Mm. And they both do the same things. I mean, I remember I was all upset when Barack Obama beat Mitt Romney and Paul Ryan. Now that I look back on it, Mitt Romney might have actually been worse than Barack Obama's, as ludicrous as that sounds. But there's some of these guys, they're all bought and paid for by the same people. So that being said, let's go to Acts chapter 1. So we have to keep this stuff in balance. Got to remember, this world is not our home. We're just passing through. Yeah. We're ambassadors here for God Almighty. We're ambassadors for the Lord Jesus Christ. And in Acts chapter 1, here Jesus Christ is about to be ascended, and he's telling them about the greatness of the gift of the Holy Spirit. First time in the history of man, well, in the Old Testament, the Spirit was upon people. And from time to time, people would get different amounts of the Spirit. Well, the Spirit was going to be available in full measure in a very short amount of time. And it would be where people could, like we had manifestations earlier, people would then be able to speak in tongues, interpret, prophesy. They would get, God could talk to them by way of word of knowledge, word of wisdom, discerning of spirits. then people could operate faith, miracles, and healings. And they would be a son of God. And they wouldn't have to worry about whether they were saved or not. They could just go out and they could do the works of Jesus Christ. And he's laying this stuff out. And he's like in verse 5, he says, John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with Holy Spirit not many days hence. Gotta love old English, hence. And what did they do? Verse 6. And when they therefore were come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, are you going to restore the kingdom to Israel? They were all worried about politics. Now, we spent a lot of time, I am worried about politics. I am concerned about politics. But politics takes a back seat to spirituality. There's a day coming, you know, the kingdom of Israel. Israel is no longer a nation. Israel is gone. The Roman Empire is gone. The Roman Empire at this point was occupying Israel. There's a day coming, if Christ doesn't return, when the United States will cease to exist. I mean, will the United States be here 10,000 years from now if the Lord tarries? Probably not. Maybe it will. I don't know. Maybe our founding fathers did such a good job with the Constitution in the last 10,000 years. I figure we'll be lucky if we make it 1,000. I mean, here it is, like we're coming up on, 200, we're about 250 years in, and all sorts of things are going wrong. And so we do get involved in politics. We do vote. There are religions that tell their people, don't vote. If you join a political party, you're going to hell. There's literally churches that teach that. And I say that's false doctrine. I say you should get involved. Believers, you know, if we don't have believers involved in politics, and it's all run by unbelievers. And it's already bad enough the way it is, you know. So we need people involved. But they were so worried about Israel, and God was bringing out something better. There was no longer going to be Jews and Gentiles. There was going to be the church of God. So if you're born again, the scripture teaches us you're no longer Jew nor Gentile. You're the church of God. You're part of the family of God. And that's a lot bigger. But the Jews, they were all hung up. The Judean believers, let's go to Acts chapter 15. They were all hung up on their nation and their Old Testament law, and they wanted Jesus Christ to be David and go to war against the Roman Empire and defeat the Roman Empire. And it was to the point where finally Israel did go to war with Rome. They had this, it was about mid-70s, 67 A.D., 70-something A.D., I forget. I got a book. I read it years ago. I have a book in Old Testament history and stuff like that. But anyway, well, actually, that's New Testament. But I don't remember the exact year, but they went to war. And finally, the Romans pretty much kicked their butt because they were the major military power in the entire world at that time. And Israel didn't have a chance. They used to think, they thought they could win because they looked at all those wars in the Old Testament when God was on their side, and they would defeat armies that were hundreds and thousands and more than they had. But see, God's will in this point in time was that they would get born again and use the Roman Empire to move the word of God throughout the whole known world. That was God's will for Israel. So what's going on in Acts chapter 15? And Paul and Apollos, he traveled with Barnabas, then he traveled with Apollos. First, I think he was first with Barnabas. But anyway, he was out. They got ordained to the Christian ministry. Paul was an apostle. And he was bringing new light to the people in the Mediterranean, the Roman Empire. In chapter 15, verse 1, and certain men which came down from Judea taught the brethren. Brethren, they're already born again. They had the Spirit. They had the salvation. So this is what a lot of churches do. They'll teach you that you have to earn what you already have. We have it. Christ paid the price. It's a done deal. They said, except you be circumcised after the manner of Moses, you can't be saved. And Paul and Barnabas had no small argument, dissemination with them. And finally they had a council back in Jerusalem. And finally Paul got the Judean believers to back off a little bit and quit saying, because Paul had spies in his ranks. Barnabas had a good friend called John Mark, and John Mark was reporting back to James. And a lot of people think that, you know, James was one of the apostles. Well, when there was more than one James, there was multiple James. This James was the brother of Jesus Christ. And when Jesus Christ was alive, James and his other brothers used to mock him. You can read about it in the Gospels. And they're saying, hey, Jesus, you going to go back down to the temple and do some more miracles? And they would just mock him. But then after Jesus Christ died, nepotism kicked in. And some of the Judean believers didn't really care for Peter. So they started looking to James, because James was a little more of a legalist.
Peter was supposed to be the head of the church in Jerusalem, and Paul had the ministry to the Gentiles.
Yep.
So it should have been Peter and Paul, and somehow James worked his way in.
He did. He usurped it. Now, if you look at the book of James, let's flip to James chapter 2. James is a book in the Bible. And some of the stuff that's in the Bible is revelation of what that person was thinking and doing at that time in their life. And a lot of the scriptures in James are amazing scriptures. But yet it says here in James 2:14, it said, what doth it profit, my brethren, if a man hath faith and have not works? Can faith save him? Well, Ephesians 2:8 says we're saved by faith, not of works, lest any man should boast.
Saved
by grace. But, you know, we're not saved by works. But yet James is saying, basically, if you don't have works, you can't be saved. And what's it say here in verse 17 in the same chapter? It says, even so, faith, if it have not works, is dead, being alone. And it says in verse 20, but wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? No, Romans says the just shall be saved by faith. We're saved through faith, by grace. We're not saved by our works. And so James, he missed the boat sometimes. And he was still involved in you go to James chapter 1, verse 25. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty. He thinks the Old Testament was the law of liberty. And he thinks it's great liberty if we have to get circumcised. And we have to do these works. And we're not saved by works. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 2. Just read Galatians and see what Paul says about the law. Basically, the whole book of Galatians is basically refuting the law. So Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8. For by grace ye are saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And remember, when Paul went to Jerusalem, these born-again believers were so bound by the Old Testament law that 40 of them, or was it 70?
40.
Or 40, they took an oath they wouldn't eat or drink until they killed Paul. And, you know, James, he could have stopped them, and he didn't. So quite often, it's corrupt religion is doing the works of the devil, unfortunately. That's why you look in the Bible and you see when the word moved, it was small home fellowships where the word moves. Paul, Jesus, Peter, John, none of those guys started a big mega church. None of them were TV preachers. Well, I guess they didn't have TV back then. But it's interesting, you know, and when Christ was crucified, there was, how many people were there? Probably less than 100, probably less than 50. Very few people actually were still with him at the crucifixion. But you know what? That crucifixion was amazing. We just had that thing a couple days ago where the moon rose and it went into eclipse. They had that. When Jesus Christ was killed, the moon was turned to blood. It was red. It was eclipsed. And that the Israelites were freaked out. They were very into signs. There was also when Jesus Christ died on the cross, it got so dark that it was like almost like night, and it was, the clouds were so dark. And then there was also another sign. There was the Old Testament temple. People like us would have been considered Gentiles. The best we could do was enter the court of the Gentiles. There was a wall of partition that separated us from the Judean believers. Then there was the court. Then there was the area that the Israelites could go into. We couldn't because we didn't have that bloodline. And then there was an area with a high priest. Only the high priest could go in there. And it was a curtain. And in there was the Ark of the Covenant. Was in there, the Ark of the Covenant, and they had a veil, and the veil was torn from the top down. God did miracle after miracle, sign after sign, to show people that Jesus was the Christ. So, what's going on? Let's go to Ephesians chapter 4. And let's see. Let me back up. I was going to start in verse 14, but let's back up and let's say let's start in verse 7. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. See, each of us gets that full measure of the gift. We have, everybody that's here in this fellowship all has the same spiritual ability as everybody else. We all have the same spiritual ability as Jesus Christ himself. That's what God gave us in that gift of Christ. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Not that he... Oh, let's skip that one. Let's go to verse 11. And he gave some apostles, some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors, and some teachers for the perfecting of saints. For the perfecting of saints. Let me pronounce that correctly. Sometimes I get sloppy with talking about that. For the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, until we all come in unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto the perfect man of the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Verse 14, that we henceforth be no more children. We're supposed to grow up. We're supposed to learn some of the Word. We study the Bible a little bit. We renew our minds. We walk with God. We believe His Word. We're not tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men, with a cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. I got a better translation than that, if I can read this little tiny writing that I put in my Bible years ago. This is from the Interlinear. It says, verse 14, that we may no longer be infants, being tossed and carried about by every wind of teaching, in the sleight of men, in the craftiness, with a view to the systematizing of error. See, that's what's going on in this world. We were talking about elections, how they cheat it, systematize error. What about fake news? Years ago, when we were kids, they had a law that a corporation or an individual can only own so many TV, radio stations, or newspapers. They were only allowed to own a few. Now, all of our mass media is all owned by just a couple corporations. And so all you got to do is those corporations, they tell their news anchor, you're going to get up and you're going to say this, and if you don't say this word for word correctly, we're going to fire you. There's a video, go to Rumble, and you can find this video. There's a video where they literally show dozens of news anchors repeating the same line word for word. Oh, this is a danger to our democracy. And they repeat it, and they show it over and over and over and over again, because they're all told what to say, and if they don't say what they're supposed to say, they get fired. Because there's 10 people standing in line that'll take that big paycheck and read the lies. They have no conscience. Or they might even be stupid enough to believe it's true. But see, it's a system of error. And they have a vaccine that's makes you more likely to get the disease than you are without the vaccine. That's a system of error. They have elections where they bring in votes, you know, they have truck in votes in the middle of the night. That's a system of error. They have voting machines, which somebody hacks in, programs the numbers. Joe Biden got 80 million votes. When he ran his events, he couldn't get 80 people to show up, but somehow he got 80 million votes. It's got to be true. But it's a system of error. So it's like I didn't get all upset when I saw the election results, because I knew they were going to cheat. I knew they were going to lie to me. Let's go to Luke chapter 4. May the force be with you, Luke. No. Sorry, bad joke. Everybody just ignores my joke because it's so bad. That makes it even funnier to me.
Well, we're just still waiting for a good one.
I did inherit my father, Jerry Raff. He had a sense of humor that was so dry. I think some of you have heard this before. He could tell a joke when he'd say the punchline, dust would come out of his mouth. Yeah, that's how dry his sense of humor was. But hopefully I'm a little better than that. But anyway, Luke chapter 4. This Jesus Christ, he just got baptized by John the Baptist, and he got the fullness of the Spirit came on him. And he went out, and he was, chapter 4, verse 1, Jesus, being full of Holy Spirit, returned to Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. You know, that's the way we should live our lives. We should be led by the Spirit. Now, God's not going to lead us into the wilderness and where we have to be crucified. Jesus Christ did the heavy lifting. Our burden is light. And when God leads us somewhere, it's going to be a lot easier than what he gave Jesus Christ to do. But Jesus Christ did this, and we have the same spiritual power he did, so we can surely handle the easy things God gives us to do. And verse 2, being tempted 40 days, being 40 days tempted of the devil. It went Yoda on me there again. And in those days he did eat nothing. And afterward he was hungry. Yeah, I would be too. In verse 3, and the devil said unto him, if you're the Son of God, make this stone turn to bread. And Jesus said, It is written that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God, or every word of God. There's different places where there's different occurrences in the Gospels where they word it slightly different. And the devil took him to a high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said unto him, hey, this is my world. All this power is mine. I own these people. And whosoever I give, all this power I'll give you, and all the glory of thereof. He showed it to him in a moment of time. He was delivered unto me, and I give it to whoever I want to give it to. I'm kind of paraphrasing King James here a little bit, trying to make it live a little better. I ordered a new Bible online. It got King James 21 for the 21st century, where they kind of clean up some of the old stuff. I'm going to see if it's any good or not. I don't know. Maybe I'll stick with my old King James. And Jesus answered and said unto him, get thee behind me, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. See, the people, for the most part, that are in positions of power, even in the Old Testament, the kings of Israel, like they had Ahab and Jezebel, they were killing the prophets of the Lord. You know, the devil puts in power those who he wants. When that's the problem, when you get kings. And nowadays, there was some Senate race. Whether the senators make, $250,000 a year or something? Which
$170,000.
Whatever, but, you know, that's a decent salary. I wouldn't mind making that salary. But they spent, $62 million on this election. There's something wrong if you spend $62 million to get a job that pays $175,000. There's corruption there. And a lot of those people, they're just puppets. And it's the devil. The devil basically puts people in power that he wants. Every once in a while he slips up and good ones get put in power. And, you know, and I believe that if we can take our country back and get more people that are good put in seats of power. But we're never going to, until the devil's thrown in the lake of fire, then we're never going to completely get rid of crooked politicians and crooked news media and crooked big pharma and all that stuff. Which, you know, that was funny, that thing we were talking about before fellowship, where I saw the thing on Facebook and the person posted this picture of little red devils in hell with fire and said, there's no air in hell! Well, you know, first of all, hell means the grave. And there is going to be, in the book of Revelation, there is going to be a lake of fire. And everybody that's ever, right now, everybody that ever died is dead, and they're sleeping in the grave, with the exception of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the first one that ever got up from the dead, and right now the only one.
To stay alive.
Obviously, people like Lazarus were raised from the dead, but Lazarus is right now sleeping in the grave, waiting the return of Jesus Christ. And there's going to be a resurrection of the just, and there's going to be a resurrection of the unjust, and everybody's going to get a chance to hear the word of God and accept or reject it. And then those that reject it, along with the devil and all the devil spirits, are going to be thrown in the lake of fire. Now, the lake of fire is not a torture. It's not a punishment. It's not what it is. It's like you take out the trash, you throw it in the fire, it's burned up, it ceases to exist. That's what the lake of fire is. It's not this terrible place with no air. Ah! But see, that's what religious...
And we don't even know if it's a real fire. I mean, the lake of fire could be a figure of speech.
Well,
it's... Go ahead.
Fire is in the Bible is cleansing. When in the book of the day of Pentecost, in the book of Acts, when they first spoke in tongues, they saw a vision of fire, cloven tongues like as fire. And what it was cleansing, and it was a sign, and it was from God. So, how are we doing on time here? Oh, I'm way over my time here. I'm talking too much. And I got too many scriptures.
That's all
right. I was going to go show you the... I'll just tell you about this one. I was going to go to the section where the woman had an issue of blood. It's in Matthew 9, it's in Luke chapter 8, and it's in Mark chapter 5. This woman had an issue of blood, and she went to doctors, and she spent all her money, and the doctors just made her worse. You know, I kind of relate to that, because I'm not a woman, and I never had an issue of blood, but in the 90s, I got arthritis, and I went to doctors, and they gave me these expensive drugs, and they didn't really help my arthritis much, and they had nasty, nasty side effects. This one drug, it made me so sick. I was hungry and nauseous at the same time. And it was like I wanted to eat, but I couldn't eat. I wanted to eat, and I couldn't eat. But my arthritis was still there. It didn't help. And Jesus, and she snuck in and just touched the hem of his garment. Got to pronounce my words correctly here. And Jesus Christ is going to heal Jairus' daughter. She's on her deathbed, literally. And finally she died. This little girl, wonderful little girl, died. And he's going there. While he's going there, this crowd is just, everybody's touching him and thronging him. And he's having to weave his way through. And he turns around and says, "Who touched me?" His disciples think, "Is this guy nuts? What do you mean, who touched you? Everybody touched you." And he knew that power went out of him, and he knew that somebody got healed. And the woman that got healed, she was afraid, because the scribes and Pharisees and religious leaders, she went and took something without asking. She stole her healing. She just went and took it. She reached out and grabbed it. And she was afraid that Jesus was going to be like the Pharisees and said, "How dare you, woman? You didn't even ask for it. You just took it." No, Jesus said, "Your faith has made you whole. Not your works." What? We remember what's his name? James said, "Without works, your faith is dead." Well, no, her faith made her whole. And because she had faith, she did some works and touched his garment. So that's the proper order how that works. And she got healed. And that other scripture I'm just not going to share. Finally, we're going to end up in Philippians chapter 2, verse 15. Foundational verse. We all had this one. We took a Bible class years ago. This was one of the verses in that class. "That ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life." That I might use, that's how we shine as lights. You know, God sent us here, we just speak the truth, and we hold forth the word of life, and we shine as light. That's the nations, you know, back then it's crooked and perverse, and nowadays it's crooked and perverse. The devil's always got something going on. He's always telling some sort of lies. You know, he'll come and say, "Well, you're not really a son of God like Jesus Christ was. You can't speak in tongues. You can't work miracles. You can't heal that person of cancer. You may not even be saved. You know, you got to do this work. You got to do that work. Whoa, geez, you just..." No, the word of God's true. And what God says we are, we are. And thus saith the Lord. Amen. So, Father, thank you for your word today. Thank you for your wonderful truth. And thank you that we can shine as lights in this crooked and perverse nation, and that we're not deceived by every wind of doctrine and all the liars and we're not deceived by Satan, who wants to steal, kill, and destroy. Instead, Father, you're closer to us than our very breath. You can walk with us like you're our best friend on the entire earth, and because we are. And God, you're so big that you can do that for each and every one of us. Each and every one of us can monopolize 100% of your time, and you're so big you can do that for trillions and trillions of people. And that you're concerned about the big things and the little things in our life, Father. And I thank you for this in the name of Jesus Christ.